Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on May 10th, 2022. Thank you so much for being with us today. We've got Star Saxstein here, one of our favorite longtime guests. She's got the second edition of her book, Hacking Assessment, coming out. It'll be out in the fall. We're going to talk about that. And she's also the COO, of Mastery Portfolio.com, okay, which is an ed tech startup devoted to helping schools move to standard-based communications and assessments, etc. She's an expert on assessments. She's also an expert on teaching, okay? She's really cool, and Star is going to be with us for a nice conversation today. Hang on for a second while I do a little homework here. As you know, we are the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org. The new issue, that's ace-ed.org, and the new issue of our magazine, Equity and Access, is up on site. All right, please go over there, just click on the cover. You'll see it there. We archive all our podcasts at ace-ed.org. Hold on while I clear my throat. We have a link to our new website, and we're very concerned about this. We call it teacher-retention.com, teacher-retention.com. It's linked, and it has to do with the educator shortage. We are very, very concerned about this, and we are offering some great PD in that regard to school districts. You might want to check that out over at teacher-retention.com. We also produce SEL Today, or the website seltoday.org. Everything's at ace-ed.org. Please check it out. We really work hard to get all these things across to pre-K-12 education. We also are happy to tell you about our inaugural Excellence in Equity Awards. That's linked over there, too. Okay? It's going to help us spotlight and celebrate high-impact work across K-12 education. 27 different award categories, 10 categories for educators and support staff. Okay, and 17 categories for companies and nonprofits. If you're an educator, you can nominate yourself or a colleague or a company you work with or a product company. You can nominate your founders, leaders, marketing departments, others. Please do so. Okay, we also have categories for publishers and authors. It's the Excellence in Equity Awards. It's from ace-ed.org, linked at ace-ed.org/awards. Or if you have questions, go to awards@ace-ed.org. Okay. Check it all out. I'm going to shut off my mic for a second and say good morning to my friend Star. Hold on one second there. Had to clear my throat. Hi, Star. Larry's here.
Morning, Larry. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, except for the coughing. I still got it here all of a sudden. It clogged up here. I was trying so hard to get through the intro without coughing, and my voice was pretty funny. Okay, from this end, anyway, it was pretty funny. Star Saxstein, everybody. Nice to have you here, Star. Welcome back.
Thank you, Larry. It's always great to be on with you. I feel like allergies sound like they're killing you, or are you actually getting over something?
I have asthma, and I have sinus issues, and together they impact my voice and my breathing. It's nuts. It's nuts.
Yes.
Okay, what can I tell you? I'm surviving. I feel fine. It's just every so often it catches up with me in the morning. And, of course, I think also I have a few allergies. So with spring and now everything's blooming, it's making me even crazier. So welcome to my world, Star. I'm a kvetch. Okay, there you go. I'll stop kvetching. Complaining. Okay, so anyway, but you can hear it in my voice. Thank you for asking. I want to ask you about several things, but the first, I want you to explain Mastery Portfolio. You're the Chief Operating Officer, MasteryPortfolio.com. Tell everybody what that is. That's cool.
So we are a small, holistic solution for assessment reform, essentially. Like if your school is transitioning to standards-based or competency-based learning, and you need a tool to track student learning in an equitable way, we have a digital solution for that. And we have a professional learning library and professional learning resources to help schools everywhere from the beginning of their transition away from traditional assessment to more equitable practices that really put kids at the front of everything.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to talk about that phrase, equitable assessments. I really do like that phrase. And also, before now we got mastery, I'm going to go over the second edition of Hacking Assessment is coming out. You really do love talking about assessment. Talk about that.
I do.
Before we go any further, talk about Hacking Assessment Volume 2.
So of all of the books that I've written over the last 10 years, Hacking Assessment has really, there are a few. Hacking Assessment, I would say, is the one that, like, it's kind of like folks' introduction to me. It's the one that's usually what they come to first. And I wrote that book in 2015, and it's old now, but the pandemic kind of created this space to have a conversation about equitable assessment practices. And so we thought it was the right time to write a revision of it, update a lot of the technology pieces, add some leadership tips, and really add some space where my thinking has changed over the last 6 years, and really thinking in terms of what kind of resources, what things did people reach out to me for after they read it. And, you know, so we have updated Hacks and Actions where there's a much wider variety of contents addressed, grade levels addressed. So anybody reading it will be able to see how it's applicable in their learning space, K-12, and then also higher ed as well.
Okay, so everybody, you can get Hacking Assessment, the original, okay, on Amazon.
And it's
Amazon.
Over the summer. Yep.
Yeah. What's over the
coming
summer?
It's coming out in July, I think. It's coming out in July.
Oh, you told me it was coming out over the fall, in the fall.
That is originally what I thought, and found out recently that the plan is actually pushed it ahead. Yeah, pushed it
Thank
ahead
you.
To the summer.
I think I said it was coming out in the fall. Okay, Hacking Assessment Volume 2 will be out in July. Hacking Assessment, the original, is already obviously there and on Amazon, okay? And it's Star Sackstein, Star with two R's, I might add. But it's easy to find on Amazon and order it, et cetera. It's really cool. Just while we're talking about, since you kind of brought it up, 2015, okay, then the pandemic hit in 2019, 2020. Did that have an effect on anything you were dealing with all this, the pandemic?
I think that the pandemic had, like, obviously there's tons of things that have happened that are not so great because of the pandemic, but what
a million people dying, but we'll just gloss over that one and move on to the happy thoughts. Go ahead,
I mean, in education, we spend a lot of time talking about learning loss. We're spending all this time talking about all the things that, again, were negatively impacted. But one of the positive outcomes has been a real look, like the fact that we have so many inequitable practices that are embedded
in
the way that we do education. You know, the COVID really exposed a lot of those inequities and what I found over the last 2 years is that people were looking for really manageable, practical solutions that support students where they are and offer a broader range of different ways we could allow kids to show what they know, focusing on an asset model instead of a deficit model. And that's really what we advocate for at Mastery Portfolio, and it's what I've always advocated for in my writing and the work that I've done, is that kids know a lot more than we give them credit for most of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way we design our classrooms have to be more flexible to the way they learn and not just what's most efficient for the educator in this space. Efficiency is obviously important, but we should really strive for more effective, equitable practices that allow every learner in the room to feel valued. And I think that that's one of the major things that schools have been forced to really focus on now. And that is really great. And I love helping schools, teachers, leaders thinking about ways that they could really engage their learners in a variety of different ways, looking forward to innovative practices where kids do have that agency, where they could reflect and self-assess and be parts of a learning community and not just have school done to them, which, you know, the traditional model is kind of like a sit and get instead of fully immersive.
I agree. Yeah. Things have changed. You know, and I want to bring up something. I think you probably heard me mention it. We started a website called teacher-retention.com. It has to do with the educator shortage, okay?
Yeah.
And things have changed out there. And as you know, Star, and as everybody I'm talking to now, there is a serious educator shortage out there. And a lot, besides the fact that the cohorts in education schools are so small now, okay, a lot of professional educators are leaving the profession, all right? And that we don't want to happen anymore. We want that to stop. We don't want to lose any more great educators. And one of the reasons why people are leaving is because the students and the social climate has changed, especially since the pandemic, all right?
Yeah.
And I just want to make the point that what you're saying and what you're advocating, okay, will help to make a change in teacher retention. The more we realize that things have changed and we have to do things differently, okay, the more teachers will become better at what they're doing now, even better than what they're doing now. And there's a change out there. We have to learn about the change and work within it, and it makes it'll help teachers stay in their job. Did I just carry that too far, or am I wrong? Right? Wrong?
No,
what do you think?
I think you're very right. And I think one of the things we often get wrong is we identify the things that we need to change, and then we tell teachers to change without giving them the adequate support they need
Thank
to do
you.
It well.
That's right. That's right.
And so when I talk about equitable assessment, I'm not just talking about telling teachers to do things differently. I'm talking about giving them robust ongoing professional learning themselves so that they could be confident doing new and different things in the classroom. This is not the kind of thing you just read a book about and then go do, although that's a nice starting point. I think that teachers and leaders need support while they're making these changes, because designing really good assessments is a skill set that you don't just, it's not one of those natural innate things that you have when you're born. It's one of those things that you need to learn and cultivate over time. And I think that sometimes well-meaning leaders get a hold of an idea to start changing things and then try to implement things way too fast and then miss opportunities to do it. Sometimes you got to go slow to go fast. And
yeah, like
you really
that.
Just want to make, yeah, it's important.
Like, and,
you
by,
know.
And by the way, are you going out to school districts and talking or doing PD, either
yeah,
virtually
yeah,
or
we,
whatever?
Yep, yep. I work virtually and I work with teacher teams in schools. We also do leadership coaching. So like if a school decided they wanted to move to standards-based grading or competency-based grading or feedback-based assessment in general without labels, we would do a needs assessment with the school, with the district at whatever level, and then work with the leaders to put in a full roadmap of implementation that usually takes about 3 to 5 years.
Well, I think it'll help with the teacher. I think it'll help. I know you will, but I'm going to ask the question. Think it'll help with the educator shortage? Think it'll help them retain teachers?
I think teachers come into teaching because they love kids and they want to do something positive in the world. And
yeah.
I think any
Good
way
point.
That you could support teachers to do that well and have really clear expectations and reasonable expectations, not like, you know, like this year, I think everyone was expecting things to go back to normal, and it's not normal. It's
not normal.
So
all you do is read the paper every day or ask Vladimir Putin. It's not normal. Okay. These are nuts. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. They're
no
really
kidding.
I want to ask you something. Thank you for all that information about that. We've been using the phrase, and I just wanted you to answer because you've used it a lot. Equitable assessment. Okay.
Yep.
What is equitable? How do you define that?
So equitable assessment is when we allow learners to have a part in the process, and there's no one fixed way to do it. So like a lot of times for the sake of efficiency, we use a multiple choice test or something like that. But most learners, like a multiple choice test doesn't necessarily give a student an adequate amount of space to demonstrate what they know and can do. So what we advocate for when we talk about equitable assessment is a robust formative practice that gives kids a lot of time to engage with material in a collaborative way often, and then gives them multiple opportunities summatively to show what they know in a variety of different ways. And it prizes a student's ability to show what they know in the way that that student does it best. So, you know, if you acknowledge a student has some processing skill challenges, maybe that auditory processing means that they need a little bit more time. They need to be seeing the learning in a different way because just listening to it doesn't adequately get them what they need. And it really works with true differentiation in that kids are given opportunities in ways that work for them to really demonstrate their learning. And what makes it equitable is that every kid gets what they need, as opposed to doing it one way. Again, the efficiency versus effectiveness conversation. Like, one way is certainly more efficient, but it is definitely not the most effective way. And a lot of our assessments, sadly,
You're looking at the former king of multiple choice questions when I was a teacher back when. Okay, it was faster. Okay, you're looking to the king. You could be my queen. All right? You don't want to be my queen in that area. You know, but Star, you said something. You said, and I think I heard you correctly, that it's a different way for the kids to see the learning. But as you said that, okay, it dawned on me that it's really the way you assist is a different way for the teacher to see the learning. Okay?
Yeah,
because
it's both. The
assessment is the measure of what kids have learned. Okay? And I can speak from example. The multiple choice test may be one way. Okay? But it's the teacher who has to see the learning. And I have to ask you, I wrote this down as you were talking, and I just remember, and I was in college 25,000 years ago, okay? But when I was in education school, nobody ever taught us how to do an assessment or how to create a test.
No.
Nobody. I know that's changed. I hope it's changed. Let me put it that way, okay?
It's
still in the process of changing, and I graduated college in 1969, so it's a long time for this process to happen, okay? Okay, it's 2022, and you can do the math. Okay, figure out how old I am. I'm like Methuselah here. All right? So the point is, okay, these days, okay, you're talking about equitable assessment, which I agree with. We'll talk more about it in a minute. Are teachers taught at all or well in education schools these days about how to assess kids? I'm curious about that. What's going on with that?
I think that they are definitely more even than from when I did my master's program more than 20 years ago at this point. I think that there are assessment classes, alternative assessment. I speak to a lot of pre-service teachers in those programs to help them broaden their perspective on what that actually means. Because although you said, Larry, you know, that the teacher is the one who has to see where kids are, when we think about assessment,
learning,
right, assessment for learning as opposed to assessment of learning, it's a part of that formative process that also helps to inform instruction, and taking pieces of the formative process to really understand where we have to lean in to do more teaching and when kids are ready to be summatively assessed. You know, so that we do have a much better idea of what they've learned. But there's ongoing assessment happening from day one with check-ins and conversations, and an informal formative practice is equally as in my opinion, it's almost even more necessary.
I would agree.
For
I would
teachers
agree with that.
Than the summative elements. Like, once a student does a summative, we're pretty much done with learning and moving on to something else. And I always say to teachers that when we put a grade on something, the learning ends. So if we want kids to be growth mindset, you know,
that's
we
great.
Want to give them feedback. We want to let them iterate. We want to give them revision opportunities and redo opportunities. And we want to make sure that they understand that this is a process, not something that they do and they finish and they move on, but rather something they experience that they grow with and grow into and then grow out of and keep growing. And, you know, that's the goal, to get them to understand this process of learning. And it doesn't just happen in school. It happens in every part of their lives.
Yeah, and so assessment is way big. Assessment and learning needs to go way beyond the grade, I think, is what you're saying. Would that be a good way to put it?
100%.
100%. Thank you. I'm so smart, but you're such a good teacher. And by the way, I just want to mention this. Star comes out. She was a high school English teacher, a journalism teacher, a humanities teacher, a social media manager for school districts, etc. She knows her stuff. I just want to make that clear to everybody, okay? She didn't come out of the clear blue sky here. She is so well known, and it just, your background is just incredible. Now you're bringing it to everybody, okay, all over the country, etc. You know, COVID really helped us open up the door and see what was going on, okay? And I agree with everything you're saying, that we need to get more involved, spend more time, and allow the kids to help develop their own way of their own way of us assessing them, okay, and them assessing themselves. But the challenge is this, okay, and help me through this. Teachers are so pressed for time. And, you know, we were kidding a minute ago, half kidding anyway, about multiple choice tests, how much quicker they are to grade, to mark, all right?
Yep.
But there's a time crunch these days. And you know as well as I do, and everybody listening knows, that teachers are going nuts trying to find the time to do the simplest jobs, okay, let alone deepen the load. How do we handle that in this day and age? What's your suggestion?
So, I mean, good tools definitely help make it more efficient. But at the end of the day, I think it's almost more important that we do slow down and go a little deeper and give kids the opportunity
I agree.
Get. So, I mean, sometimes it's not about more and moving fast, but less and deepening, because honestly, if kids miss it when we teach it and we keep moving on, no one is going to benefit from that scenario. You know, we have to make sure that they're really getting what we're putting out there. And if that means that we're not getting through as much of the curriculum, then so be it. At least we know that what we taught, they do get. And that the foundational understanding is there so that you can add those additional things after the fact. I think it's unreasonable and unrealistic to sometimes just get through. Especially at the secondary level, you hear teachers saying that a lot. Like, I have so much that's being tested on the state exams. For example, in New York, we have regents coming up really soon,
yep.
And there's a lot
yep.
of content on those regents that kids have to get through. But they are changing the exams now. They are starting to think about things more thematically, more topically, so that kids can demonstrate understanding in different ways rather than just
that's great
straight content like regurgitation.
Yeah.
Were in the past.
I'm really stuffy this morning. I apologize. That is really key. Okay. The regents are a perfect example. Okay. That they make these changes, et cetera. Okay, it just has to be, and you know, it's making this thing, you keep saying things are starting to change. You know, we know an awful lot these days about how people learn, the neuroscience behind it, okay? And I always feel like the education world, and in terms of assessment, is behind it. That we're way behind the neuroscience. We know how
100%.
People learn.
100%, yep.
You know?
It's true.
And
yep.
You know, and we keep talking, things are starting to change. Well, they have already changed, Okay, your doctor has to go beyond. No doctors are raising leeches anymore. We don't need them anymore. Okay, it's you know, things have to change. Period. And this is what's good. So let's go back to what you do, Mastery Portfolio. Okay, and your book, Hacking Assessment. Okay, what are they going to tell people what to do? Okay, how does it all support equitable assessment these times? These crazy, crunchy times.
So Mastery Portfolio's main tool is the Mastery Book. And basically what that is a progress tracking dashboard that allows teachers to input their assessments, their assignments, their observations, their labs, their homeworks. But it requires the educator to align everything to a standard or a competency, so that we have this really clear understanding of what the assignment is for and how it aligns with skill and content. And then the scale is completely customizable by the school, the language that you use. It has a very colorful dashboard so that teachers could see just by looking at it which students are, you know, secure in a particular standard or competency. Meaning they're proficient or masterful in that particular competence. It doesn't average scores. It takes the most recent iteration of a piece of learning for a student. It now has a student self-assessment capacity as well, where a teacher can make an assignment, a self-assess, and students can assess themselves and provide evidence in the same dashboard that the teacher sees before the teacher does their assessing, so that they could see where the students are and where they think their work is before they make those decisions on their own.
Wow.
And it has a really robust reporting element as well, because what we've learned is that a lot of the LMSs that are out there and a lot of the grading systems that are out there, teachers kind of have to fit their practice into what the system can do. And since we've developed our system, and me and my two partners, we're all teachers.
Who are your
Ms.
partners?
Humanity.
You want to mention them?
Sure. Constance Borough is our CEO. She was a math and science teacher for, you know, I think about 15 years. And she also was an instructional coach and a leader. And Ben, our CTO, Ben Knuckles, he was a math teacher in New York as well. And so, like, we've all been in the classroom.
Yes,
we all have a really deep understanding of what good assessment practices are and how to get kids in the process. And we wear our teacher hats every day as we're further developing this tool to what's going to make teachers' lives easier. How can we get kids excited about their own learning? Yeah. And so, I mean, the kids have access to the dashboard. They see their growth over time. They could set goals based on what they see. And it's just, you know, it's a very motivating kind of thing when a student can see how far they've come over period of time.
Absolutely. I have to ask this question. Maybe people are, do you see this as an LMS, a learning management system? Or how do you see this?
I'm trying
to position it for you so that the teachers can picture this. Yeah.
We actually aren't an LMS because we don't capture a lot of the same identifying information that LMSs do for privacy reasons. So what we are is a progress tracking tool, a growth tool, and basically what teachers could, like, there's a lot of functionality of what teachers can do and the implications for instructional decisions, but it's not a curriculum development tool, and it's not just like a straight up put grades, you're not putting grades in. You're tracking the progress of students based on the things that are happening in your class every single day.
And how does it work? Does an individual teacher, or what, I should ask the other way, how are you finding it works? Do schools sign up to use it? Do departments sign up to use it? Or do individual teachers sign up to use it?
So we do have the possibility for individual teachers to get it on their own. We do have free accounts available in that capacity, and then also paid teacher accounts if schools aren't ready. We find that it's more ideal if you do it by department or you do it by school. We do have district accounts as well. The more teachers who use a school account, the more information is in the dashboard for students. So if you have multiple contents and different teachers using it, or elementary teachers having all of their different contents in there, there's more information in the dashboard that gives
right.
a more robust picture for parents and school leaders to track learning. But we try to be as flexible as possible for folks who are ready to be using a tool like this, because if your instructional practice doesn't align, the information you put in there isn't going to be very good. So you need good data in to have good data out, and we help schools do that. We help schools know what data to track and, you know, how to increase student learning based on the kinds of data they are collecting.
And what's the feedback you're hearing from school leaders or whoever the person might be? What's the feedback you're getting?
I think because we take such a customizable approach, like, we really do understand that no two schools and no two districts are identical, the same way no two teachers and no two students are. So
yep.
We really take the stance that, you know, customer satisfaction, customer happiness is really important to us, and making sure that every school, every teacher who works with us is getting exactly what we need, which is why, you know, we have tiered licensing so that even our PD is built into the tool, so that, you know, if you want unlimited access to us, you don't actually have to pay for individual PDs. It actually comes with the tool.
That's important, because unlimited access to Star and her brain in terms of education is something that's worth a lot of money. Okay, Star, you're amazing. You've come up with this thing. I think it's doing just great. The book, we got to go leave, but the Hacking Assessment Volume 2 out in July. Hacking Assessment's already up on Amazon, obviously, since 2015. And she and her friends have created MasteryPortfolio.com. Okay, this is doing great. How long has Mastery Portfolio been out there?
So my partners created it. I would say that it's about 3 years now. I came on board last August.
Happy
it's
upcoming
been
anniversary.
Really thank you very much. It's been
You're very welcome.
A really cool journey to live in the work I'm most passionate about all the time. Like, this is the work that really makes me excited, and hope that, you know, my hope
know
is that I could help more folks do what's good for kids.
Well, you always will. Are you going to any conferences? You're going to be at ISTE or anything?
We are going to be at ISTE, and I'll be at SREB as well, and any ESP upcoming. Those are the ones that are, I think, next on the
list.
Okay,
NAESP, there's elementary school principals, that one?
Yep, mm-hmm.
Okay, good. They're friends of ours and good folks. Okay, and ISTE's coming up in June. You have a booth there, am I correct?
We have a booth and presenting two poster sessions.
Oh, good. Excellent. So everybody's going to ISTE will be there. Okay, Star, thanks a million. You're wonderful.
Thanks
Keep it
so
up.
Much, Larry.
I wish you best of luck with this. Okay, it's just terrific. Okay,
thanks
you.
So much, Larry.
Thank you so much. You're welcome.
Have a good one.
You're welcome. You too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. And thank you, Star. That was great. That's Star Saxteen, everybody. Again, MasteryPortfolio.com. Okay, and you can also do Ms., like MS, MsSaxteen.com. All right, she's really excellent. Just amazing. Okay, we'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Okay, her stuff has a real impact. It's good stuff. She's smart. All right? Check out what we're doing over at ace-ed.org, our awards program, our teacher retention stuff, SEL Today, et cetera. I'm Larry Jacobs. I guess my voice must be tough today. Okay, I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day.